Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, we give you much praise this morning. We honor you. We come before your word, and we fully expect the greater one that dwells within us to bring forth his anointing on these words, his anointing on me as his servant to deliver these words. And I lay hold of it with my faith, and I claim all that's mine in the anointing of the prophet and the teacher, and the anointing on the ears of the people, the hearers. And together we give forth great honor and praise to the name of Jesus. And today not one person will leave this building untouched by the power of the living Almighty God. No person watching online, no person hearing my voice on a tape or a DVD or a CD or any other kind of device will go untouched by the power of the living God today. I believe it in my heart, and I say it with my mouth in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I turn myself and this service into the hands of our teacher, the Holy Spirit of the living God. And to the name, the name, the name that's above every name, be all the glory and all the majesty. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to two openings this morning. Acts chapter 10. And also in the book of Genesis, chapter 39. Now, there's something I really want you to see. I want you to get a concept of something this morning. God deals in concepts, amen. And as you begin to receive, you begin to receive concept of His Word. This entire book agrees on with itself on all accounts. And there are things that the Bible says that without concept, you don't see or hear it say it. But we're going to see something this morning. Amen. And let's look, first of all, in the scripture where Peter is preaching in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. Verse 34, Peter opened his... Now, guys, I appreciate you doing that, but don't interrupt the word when I'm reading it to do it, all right? Amen. Amen. Will you agree with me on that? When I say open the Bible, you can shout till your hair curls, but after we start reading it, it interfered with the anointing when you did that. And the anointing is priceless. Now, I need you to pray in the Spirit and help me get it back. Don't be hurt because I corrected you. Amen. That's what we're here for, to learn. Acts chapter 10, Verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive. So what this was concept. Amen. He perceived something. Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. All right, hold your place there and look with me in the fourth chapter of the book of Luke. Verse 16, Jesus came to Nazareth where he'd been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place. You and I know it as the 61st chapter of the book of Isaiah, where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, gave it again to the minister, and sat down. Now, that's what Peter is referring to here. Let's look at it again. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Jesus took that text everywhere he went, read that, and launched his message from there into whatever was called for by the moment, the meeting, wherever it was, depending on what the purpose of that meeting is or was at the time. But it began with that text. Amen. Now, this is very, very important information. He published that, he preached that everywhere, everywhere. Now, I want you to notice what Peter said here. That word I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Read that aloud with me, please. For God was with him. For God was with him. Jesus said, the Son can do nothing of himself. This He preached, ministered in the earth as a man, baptized in the Holy Spirit. The anointing was on him. He preached, he taught more than anything else. He's a faith preacher and teacher. Because without faith in the people, nothing could happen. Well, for the most part. So, everywhere he went, he told them he was anointed to do certain things. All you had to do was believe that. He said, my words are not my own. It's the Father that dwells within me. He does the works. But now he says, the anointing is upon me. The Father dwelling within him and upon him. All right. For God was with him. Say it again. For God was with him. Now then, to the book of Genesis, please. Chapter 39, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down there. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. Why? God was with him. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. His master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Now, we're talking about increase today. And of course, the same laws govern increase in every area because the laws of faith never change. Now, there is a difference. How can I put this one? In increase financially, increase in wealth, increase in becoming debt-free and so forth. There is a different circumstance in that, different from a person getting born again, different from someone receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, different from someone receiving physical healing, different from it. The difference is this. You can't do it by yourself. Amen. You get born again by yourself. That's right. Amen. You get baptized in the Holy Ghost by yourself. I mean, your faith, you're releasing it, and it has to do with you, your faith or your unbelief. I mean, that's where all the effect is right there. Even if someone else has some kind of influence on you, they can't do it unless you allow it, good or bad. Amen? But you can't buy by yourself. You can't sell by yourself. You can't sow by yourself. And you can't reap from yourself. Amen. So now you got and financial and material increase dealing with material things. You've got other people involved, and then their faith, their unbelief can have effects in what you do and where increase is concerned financially. Now, God has taken care of that. But if you're not aware of it, then it can, and if you just continue to function at it by yourself, then things can happen and take place and hold you up and then all kinds of things, particularly if you're not aware of that part of what we're going to be talking about. Now, Joseph found grace in his sight, his master's sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, now over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught what he had, save the bread which he did eat. Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Now, I want you to notice something. What was, when Potiphar saw that Joseph, that God was with him, what did he see? The blessing. This man, there's something different about this guy. I mean, he's doing things with my farm and my ranch here. He's doing things that nobody else around here was ever able to do it. I mean, there's things happening out there. My animals are producing better. I mean, there's just something about this man. What's he seeing? The blessing of the Lord. Now, let's go also to Genesis, let's see. Yeah, I want to go back to the 12th chapter of Genesis right here. The blessing, say it, the blessing. The blessing. Well, yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, sir, I'll do it. Now, here's concept. God never changes. Amen. 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 And he did it once. You better pay attention because that's the way he's going to do it. Amen. Jesus, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good. Well, what does the word bless mean? The literal meaning of the word, if you bless somebody, you say something good. Now, stay with me now because I want you to get the concept. God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about blessing. Amen. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Amen. What you're seeing in the ministry of Jesus is a manifestation of what God said to Adam in the Garden of Eden. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have authority over it. Yes, The blessing of the Lord. Say it. The blessing of the Lord. It was the blessing of the Lord. It was the Spirit of God. It was the glory of God that raised Jesus from the dead. Because you see, you can't separate that from the blessing. The Lord just showed this to me one day. I've been reading this and studying this for a long, long time. But the concept came one day, and it was just like looking down on the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. It's a manifestation of what God said to Adam, and you follow it all the way through the Bible to the very last page. The blessing of the Lord. Hallelujah. Which became the blessing of Abraham, which became the blessing of Isaac, and the blessing of Jacob, and the blessing of Joseph. Hallelujah. And the blessing of Jesus. And the blessing of you and me. Do you see that this morning? Oh, I want you to get it so. Oh, I want you to have that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, that blessing is at the core of what you and I know as partnership. It's not just a cute term for raising money. Now, people have used it like that, but I'm not anybody's judge, and I can't speak for any ministry but this one. Amen. But that's not the way we look at this. I said this last night. I want to say it to you again. Money is the lowest form of prosperity. It's important. Amen. But it is on the bottom of the list, particularly the power list. Whoa. Amen. So, but I want you to get this now. It is at the core of distribution of the blessing. The distribution of the blessing of the Lord is extremely important to God. Had Adam not done what he did, there are translations of the Torah, first five books of the Bible, the books of the law, by Jews into English. Now that's special. And in the beginning, God created. Remember that verse? Only they translate it like this. In the beginning, the blessed one created. The blessed one. Now immediately from that, you draw this. Well, the blessed one created, that's letting us know that it was his using power. We know he released faith when he did it. We know he did it by his word, praise God. But now we know it was the power of the blessing that brought all matter into existence. Well, no wonder then the blessed one blessed Adam with the same power to run it that he used to create it and put it into motion. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Genesis chapter 12. Well, yeah, thank you, Lord. I still didn't get that said. In concept here, tie these three things together. Blessing, anointing, love. It's love that blesses. Amen. Now, you know, religion and religious, whatever it is. Well, now, you know, that sickness, or you know, God might have just took all your property and everything and bring you down a peg or two. And if you just wake up here, this might be a blessing in disguise. There ain't no such thing as sickness being a blessing under any circumstance or kind. It's a curse. If God said it's a curse, it's a curse. And when you understand what blessing means and who the blessing is and what the blessing is, and it, the blessing of the Lord. Are you helping me?
Yes.
I'm having to pull these words out here kind of one at a time here. It's because of spiritual concept, and sometimes spiritual things are hard to describe with natural words. Yeah. Oh, God is so smart. Thank you, Lord. Now, let me demonstrate. Will you do that? If I'm going to bless my brother Dave, I'm going to bless him. Now, the blessing, if I bless my brother, what is going to bless him? The anointing. Now you got it. If without the anointing, it's not the blessing of the Lord. And without the blessing, there is no anointing. You following me, aren't you? Now, hang on to that. We know from the 10th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Now, Jesus was preaching out of the book of Isaiah concerning the anointing. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and so forth and so on, what we read there a while ago. And then he closed the book, and Dr. Luke said he began to say, it didn't say he said that. It said he began to say, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears today. That is a summary of what he preached. He preached the same sermon that he'd been preaching everywhere else. And they didn't believe it. And the reason, one of the reasons they didn't believe it is because they didn't hear it. All they heard is the Spirit of the Lord is on me, and he said, who does he think he is? And some of them, particularly his own kin, he's our kin, folks. Well, every prophet ever born was somebody's kinfolk. You know that? There ain't never been one sneaked into this planet. Oh, no. It hadn't happened yet, and it's not going to happen. So I want you to grasp that and take hold of that. Now, we know this about the anointing. It is the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. That's what the anointing does. Amen. All right. Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I'm coming right back there to that, but I want you to hear this now. Galatians 3:6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham? And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, now listen now, because this is the gospel. In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. What is the good news? The blessing of the Lord. The burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of the living God. Hallelujah. Whoa, that's good news. Blind man, you don't have to be blind anymore. Poor man, you don't have to be poor anymore. Glory to God. Weak man, you don't have to be weak anymore. Praise God, that's the gospel. Hallelujah. Ha! Done preach myself happy, God. Now you're looking at it here. Let's go back to the chapter 12. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Well, now we see he's talking about what the Apostle Paul was talking about, that the Spirit of God was saying in Galatians chapter 3, we're now in on that original conversation, part of it here. Oh. I used to tell the kids when they were little, I'd say, okay, now get your catchers out. We got something good coming here. I will bless them that bless you. Now, what's he saying here? Those that will partner with you and help you bless, I'll bless them. With God had to start somewhere. He started in Adam, but Adam blew it off. And he finally found a man that would teach his children, and he picked him. And he said, I'm going to bless you. I am going to bless you. But now people that will partner with you and help you bless, they're going to have the same blessing on them that you have on you. And he wasn't talking about just family here. Potiphar was in on that. And he blew it. Amen. So, but I want you to see that now. Let's get this again. I will bless them that bless you, and I. Now I'm gonna read this with a little different word here, so you get concept. I will stop him that tries to stop you and the blessing. Hallelujah. Now see, here's something. This is something you and I need to know. Because if we don't, and we don't realize this, and we're not taking our stand and knowing how to resist this, then somebody can just meddle with our finances and meddle with it and mess with it. The government mess with it, or some way or another get it all fouled up. No. You better watch out. Be messing with my seed or messing with my harvest. No, I'm blessed. And if you'll come on along, you can be blessed. But you don't want the backside of this blessing. Because when it's going the other way. Amen. Because God, thank you, Lord. Yeah, I can do that. Thank you, Jesus. Let's look in Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, at the blessing of the Lord. And we'll see this exact same thing again. It shall come to pass, if you'll hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all of his commandments. Now remember Romans 13:9. Huh? All of these commandments, and if there be any other commandment, is summed up in this one word, love your neighbor as yourself. Glory to God. So that puts us, that qualifies us. We walk in that, and we love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength. We love our neighbor as ourselves, and we love the brethren even as he loved the brethren. Praise God. That qualifies you, my brother and sister, right here. You're blessing qualified. If you'll hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. And he begins to say, blessed be you in the city, blessed be you in the field, in the fruit, and so forth and so on. Verse 7, I will curse him that curses you. I will stop him that's trying to stop you from blessing. That's what we read there in Genesis 12. Amen. Verse 7, Deuteronomy 28:7. The Lord shall cause thine enemies, or those that are trying to stop you, those that are trying to, that the devil's using, trying to stop the blessing from operating, the Lord will cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face. They come out against you one way and flee before you seven. What happened there? The Lord will cause. What happened? They bang into that blessing wall. Now, look at it as a matter of momentum. You and God are on the move. You're believing God, you're walking by faith, and you're taking care of business and forgiveness and so forth, and you're strong to tithe and strong to obey, and the blessing of the Lord is functioning. Now you have, let's say you have someone, maybe a member of your family, might be someone else that you know, some Christian or somebody, whoever it is. But they like you, and it's fine with them, and they're moving in your momentum. And all of a sudden, they just don't like what you said, and they don't like what you did. Now, what are they doing? Come here, kid. Now, we're walking along here together, but all of a sudden, you do this. Now I got a choice. I can just go on and love him and just keep believing God, or I can get in strife with him and my momentum will stop. Now that's what the devil is hoping is going to come to pass. But now he was flowing in my momentum and he jumped out and got out there. Well, guess what? I'm not going to stop. He can do whatever he's going to do. I'm going to forgive him and just keep on cranking. Amen. That comes clear, doesn't it? Now, there's all kinds of things that's going to be functioning, operating in his life between he and God and so forth and so on. But now, there is a place in here. I'm not his judge. So that's he and God's business. Well, I'm not going to, at least I don't think I'm going to. We just leave that right there for right now. Now you get a good, clean, sharp insight in what God was saying. I will bless them that bless you. In other words, that's the way the blessing, which includes the anointing, is distributed among God's people. Let's take the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. There are certain anointings that are part and parcel of certain ministries. Let's take the pastoral ministry, the shepherd's ministry. Look with me, if you will, to the 6th chapter of Mark's gospel. Mark chapter 6. Now look at verse 35. Here is where most people begin to read in teaching where Jesus fed 5,000. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert place. And now is the time as far past. In other words, you're going to have to quit preaching now, Jesus. You preached long enough. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy bread, for they have nothing to eat. And Jesus said unto them, you feed them. Now, let's back up. Verse 32. They departed into a desert place by ship privately. The people saw them departing, and many knew him and ran afoot there out of all the cities. Out went them and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. Now, the word shepherd is the word that's translated pastor in Ephesians 4. Amen. And you'll find it in other translations, Spanish translations particularly, because I'm more familiar with that. They don't even use the word pastor. It doesn't even show up. It's just shepherd. Shepherd of the sheep. And that's what a pastor is. And it's that, like I say, the word translated pastor there is the Greek word shepherd. Moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. What happens when you teach? Faith cometh. Now he turned to they were not listening to him teach. They were worried about the time of day. They were worried about not having any food. They were worried about being out here in this desert when it's dark. They were concerned about all of this. And they weren't getting from what he was preaching many things. The people out there already had faith for this miracle. Amen. They're the ones with the prosperity of more than enough to eat in a desert place that began with a small seed. Are you grasping this? And what I'm showing you here, what I want you to grasp from this, particularly those of you that are in the pastoral ministry, shepherd's ministry. The anointing of the increase is part of the pastor's anointing. That's what a shepherd does. A shepherd is the one that's responsible for the green pastures and the still waters and all the homes that his congregation need to build by still waters. There's something nice about living on the lake, brother. Amen. Jesus knew that. His home was on the lake. Amen. Oh, yeah. And I can testify that it's wonderful. Oh, yeah, man. Gloria says my office is outside, you know, and that's true. I don't like to be indoors in the first place. But anyway, I won't go into all that. But Jesus did say he shall receive 100-fold in this time. Houses, yes. Lands, yes. Houses. Yes. I believe that. Oh, yeah. Everybody ought to have at least 2 houses, preferably 3, or maybe 4. There's 4 seasons. Hallelujah. Now, hey, You're not going to get there if your pastor's preaching to you that you ought not have things and God's trying to bless you by not letting you have anything. Right. Ain't nobody believe that anywhere but church. They don't believe it there. They just agree with it. But as long as that's all you're hearing, you can't possibly have faith for finances. That's the reason it is so important, pastors, for you to feed the flock. Feed the flock on words of the dumbest. This may be the answer to the question, just how dumb can you get? Is for a man to preach poverty to the same people from which he receives offering. Boy, that is D-U-M-B-double-B-dumb. And then cry before God, I don't know why we can't pay our bills. It's on account of you, dumb. Forgive me. I started to call you pastor, but that's not a pastor. That's not a shepherd. I don't really know what that is, but it's not a shepherd. And, of course, the sheep will return the favor and do their best to keep the pastor broke. And between the two of them, they ain't going to do much. Now, if you leave this up to the devil, he will see to it that you are sick, and what little money you do have, you spend on that sickness or on something else to keep you totally, as close to totally ineffective in being a carrier of the blessing that he possibly can, because that is his downfall. The power of the blessing. You want to know how the devil feels about the blessing? It's in the book. Well, all right. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Let's go to the book of Job. Verse 9, chapter 1. Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for nothing? Hast not thou made a hedge a wall? Say a wall.
Wall.
Have you not made a wall about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. There was a blessing wall there, and he couldn't penetrate it. And that's the reason he's hollering about it. Now, God did not give him permission. It wasn't God that did that. No. Fear broke the wall. Now, there's only one sin dealt with in the book of Job. I mean, there were things, you know, and God said, well, in all of this, my servant was righteous. And he did some things that you and I look at and say, boy, if I did that, he would have said, I was righteous. But there's not but one sin talked about here, and it's right here. The accuser said to God, put forth your hand now, touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face. That's what he accused Job of, and that's the sin that the book of Job deals with. Now, did Job commit that? No, he didn't. But his wife did. Yes. She joined in with the devil and said, why don't you curse God and die? Now, how is the devil going to get anybody to curse God? Somehow or other, he has to get people thinking about cursing God. That's what this whole thing is all about. He's got to get that on people's mind. And he got it on Job's mind. He didn't do it, but he thought about it. And he thought about his children. My children are going to curse God. Oh! So he worried about it. He worried about it. And he worried about it. What is that? Well, in one sense of the word, it's tantamount to doing it. Because you're exercising worry and fear in it. Day and night. He kept making the same sacrifice over and over and over and over and over instead of making the sacrifice, standing on it and so forth like you and I are aware of. Now, I wanted you to see that. And it was not God that destroyed his stuff. It was the destroyer, Satan, that destroyed his stuff. God's not out destroying people's stuff. Amen. So here's the same, all the same process is working all the time. The blessing of the Lord. Amen. And the devil started interfering with it. So what was the next thing they did? Curse. Hey, amen. Huh? Okay, now. Well, Job could have stopped this. The book of Job, instead of being 42 chapters long, could have been 4 chapters long. If he just repented. But it took him another 40 chapters to get there. But thank God he got it done. And of course, most of you already know this, but most scholars say that this was somewhere around 8-9 months or so, less than a year, thereabout. And like I heard Brother Keith Moore say, Job had a bad year. But he came out on the double. Oh, yeah. Boy, I mean, when the blessing kicked back in, all he had to do was repent. And wham, here it came. How did it come? It came in the form of the blessing. But not only the blessing, it manifested when he ministered the anointing to his friends. The blessing came, but the anointing of increase hit twice what it had ever been. And he's already the richest man in the East. That's what had the devil so torn up. This man, by the power of God, is controlling the East. Everybody wanted to be like him. He's got a healing ministry. He's getting all of these good things. The blessing of the Lord and the anointing of God. Hallelujah. Man, I needed to hear that this morning. I hope you're enjoying this half as much as I am. I'll tell you what. Back to where we read last night in Luke chapter 8. Now, this will mean more to you. Luke 8. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. Now we know exactly what was going on here because Jesus went about how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Yes. Amen. Amen. And we know that that's what was going on here. We just have a description of it. And the 12 were with him. Now think about the 12. He anointed them. Amen? They began to minister, how? With His anointing. Or, to help us, with His blessing. Amen. Now later, what happened? When they got born again, and then on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out, now the blessing of Abraham has come in them. Not just on them or around them, but in them. Jesus was made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham, help me finish it, might do what? Might what? Come on. Is that what it said? Might come on. Is that what that said? That the blessing of Abraham might come on. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me. That the anointing, the blessing might come on the Gentiles. Woo, that's you and me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's the gospel. I'm not supposed to be blind. I'm not supposed to be sick. I'm not supposed to be broke. I'm supposed to be blessed. And I am. But I have to say I am before I am. I am. But then I have to say I am. And then I am. There's a message in there somewhere. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. Oh, Lord, help me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Sir, and certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. Now, these are the 12, many others, but all of them, all of them, the women, the many others, were all partners and what He's doing. He said, I came to do the will of my Father who sent me. Well, that's what they're doing. Jesus said, who are my mother and my brethren but those that do the will of the Father? That's my family. Why? That's what they're the blessed ones. They get in on my blessing. Because they're helping me do what I'm supposed to do. Well, whatever He's supposed to do, He's doing it because He's anointed, which is blessed. Amen? Well, that's the way He does what He does, and that's what He's doing. And if you're doing with Him what He does, you're going to be doing it with the same blessing and the same anointing. And if you'll do it the way He says do it, then it'll be on that same level with Him. That's the reason I'm looking for some more suddenlies, glory to God. That's the reason I'm looking for immediately and straightway and suddenly the Spirit of God fell on them. Because we see it not only in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but we see it in the book of Acts, glory to God. Same Jesus. Same blessing. Now, He said to them, when He had said these things, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. The disciples said, what might this parable be? And then he began to explain to them these things. Now I want you to get an even greater grasp of what he said in the 10th verse. Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. It's given to know. Look with me in the book of Philippians right quick. Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and the deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship. The Greek word is partnership, for your part in the gospel from the first day until now. Now, what is the gospel? Well, he's still referring to what he wrote in the book of Galatians. He wrote in the letter to Galatians. He's still referring to that. Amen. Now, the gospel then to a sick man is a message on healing, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah.
Then the gospel to a blind man is a message on recovery of sight to the blind.
That's right.
The gospel to a poor man that can't pay his bill, doesn't have enough to eat. I mean, that's the gospel of financial prosperity.
Yeah.
But it all has, all of those things are part of the blessing of Abraham. Woo, glory to God. So what are his partners doing? Why is he praying for them? I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. For what? For your fellowship, your partnership in preaching redemption from the curse. In preaching that Jesus was made a curse for us, that the blessing of Abraham might come on you. Glory to God. And you're helping me do that. From the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus, the Anointed One. And you have to remember, everywhere he wrote the word Christ, they read anointed. They weren't reading along in Greek and then got an English word. They weren't reading along in Greek, then read the word Messiah. No, that's Hebrew. They didn't read the word anointed. They read the word Christ, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew word Messiah, which is anointed.
Amen. Amen.
Staggering, huh? Of course it is. Now you can see why the devil tried to pull that blindfold of religion over people's eyes to the point where people thought that's Jesus' last name or something. And even when we read the word Christ, and even knowing what it meant, you still stumble over it. Because you read the word and say the word Christ without mentally thinking anointing, it's just kind of blah. It's just a word.
That's right.
No more.
Amen.
No more.
Amen.
Anointed. Amen.
Amen.
Blessing.
Amen.
Anointing.
Amen.
Love.
Love.
Love did it. This is the anointing of love. Now, wait a minute. Back up. Put her in reverse. Back up your distancing. The anointing of love, yeah, but it's love himself. Love himself. Work with this. Renew your mind to this. That God is love is God is love is God. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, what did he say then to his partners? Even as it is meet, or even I am able to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, in as much as both in my bonds and in the defense and in the confirmation of the gospel. Confirmation of the gospel. What's confirmation of the gospel? 16th chapter of the book of Mark will tell us exactly what the confirmation of the gospel is. And God went with them, working with, actually the word them is in italics. God went with and working with the word being confirmed with what? Signs following. Now we understand why preaching the blessing, preaching that blessing, that's the gospel. That's what God is obligated to fulfill with signs following. Not what you and I think about it, but what is actually preached. His word preached, he is obligated to confirm it with signs following. Hallelujah. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow. The word translated sorrow means to toil and to earn with sweat. Oh, somebody got it right there. Somebody got it right there. Hey, that's gospel. That's good news. Notice what he said. In as much as in my bonds, and in the defense, now each one of these are anointings and graces. This man had the power of God on him when they put him in jail and put him in stocks. In fact, it happened right there at Philippi. Amen. That old jail shook right down to her very core, brother. As he was praising and he and Silas was praising, they prayed and they sang and they praised God. At midnight. And the prisoners heard them. It wasn't just a little silent praise. But there was anointing there. My anointing to defend the gospel. Not defend himself, defend the gospel. And confirmation of the gospel with signs and wonders. You are all partakers of my grace. My anointings, the blessing of the Lord that's on me, the anointing that's on me. And the anointing that was on him and on Silas, but he's speaking of himself. They are partners with him. What are they doing? They're helping him bless. They're helping him preach. They're joined up side by side with him. Now, when they did that, they became partakers of His blessing, His anointing. And this man is blessed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And He said, you are partakers of My blessing, My anointing. Now, apply what Jesus said to those that were following Him. You are supposed to know. You're supposed to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Glory to God.